Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 723. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd just like to say, preemptively, I am not intrigued by what Jeff is drinking.
You might be.
Earl is here.
Hello, and we are just 7 days from the thing popping out of our TV screen once again. And of course, I'm talking about the Nintendo Switch when you remove it from the dock.
Yeah, very, very soon. In fact, this time next week, it'll be in my hand.
Better. Where'd you get it from?
GameStop. I got to go pick it up.
Okay. So you're for sure.
Yeah.
So Melissa, you know, she's the one that got it for us, and her email swears it'll be here by 9 a.m. on Thursday. And I'm like, I thought I saw it would be the day later, but she would know better than me.
Yeah. Walmart is telling me it'll be here by Friday.
So. See, she's saying it's her email says Thursday, so I don't know.
Walmart sent you an email?
I guess.
I have not.
I mean, they have, like, you can go to, like, your pre-order page and see when it's supposed to arrive.
Yeah.
They haven't sent me an email.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I'm not looking through her shit, but, yeah, supposedly it'll be here, which is perfect because that's my day off, so I plan to play Mario Kart all day.
And Jeff is here. What are you drinking, Jeff? What is so intriguing?
I'm drinking a Run Wild IPA. Have you ever heard of that, Tony?
Yes, I have. I've had that beer before.
Are you serious?
I get lots of Athletic Brewing beers.
Okay. So you count it as a beer, huh?
So Run Wild, it tastes beer-ish.
It's very close. It is.
In fact, compared to the beers that you often drink, Miller Lite or whatever, it's going to have more flavor than those. And those beers don't have a ton of alcohol, so you don't really notice the difference. So
what is this? It's a low alcohol beer.
No, the non-alcoholic beer.
Okay.
And it's
from Athletic Brewing, and you can find this beer like everywhere. I hate it so much.
Well, I don't. I mean, I but it's like because it looks like a normal beer a lot of times. I'm like, this is NA. Yeah.
The packaging and everything.
I do drink a lot of Athletic Brewing beer, but I like to order it from Athletic Brewing because the beers are better. Like Run Wild is adequate. The Hazy IPA for me tastes like pickle juice, but like the more crafty ones that you can order direct from them are so much better. Like there's some actual good IPAs and stuff that have no alcohol.
I bought a sixer of this Run Wild IPA, and then I bought a sixer of the Hazy. I have not tried the Hazy, but you just kind of ruined it for me by saying it tastes like pickle juice.
It tastes like something. And then when I realized it was pickle juice, I couldn't drink it anymore. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Oh, boy.
Preemptively. So maybe it won't for you. Maybe it'll taste different.
Now I want Jeff to do a taste test.
The Run Wild IPA, I'd give it like a 9 out of 10. The first sip, I was like, yeah, that's not real beer. The second sip, I was like, I literally can't tell. Like, I might as well be drinking a fucking any IPA. It tastes delicious, man. It's like,
yeah. What I'll frequently do is, like, if you have a couple beers, then you switch to that. It's like, then you have less alcohol and, you know, still drinking a beer.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Quite interesting.
I also tried Coors Edge over the last week, and
don't do that.
That ain't fooling nobody. It's doable. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, they've gotten away with tricking people into thinking they make beer. So
yeah,
it has a weird, like, skunky taste to it. Like, I can't explain it, but it's just like, and you can just tell. Like, all right, like this, like. You'd fool me with this. If someone gave me this, you know, at a bar or a party or something, like, I wouldn't think anything of it. I wouldn't know. I'd be like, man, these are going down easy.
You're six in. You're like, I'm not drunk. I'm holding my alcohol today. All right. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Also interesting, EA canceled their Black Panther game, which Earl forgotten existed, so I'm assuming you guys did too.
No, I knew it existed. I just, it'd been so long that I kind of lost hope, and apparently there was a reason to.
understandable to lose hope for that, because it's now gone. They closed the entire studio that was working on it.
Yeah.
And I guess they laid off some other people that were working on mobile and other teams. So Black Panther, no more.
I mean, I didn't have a ton of faith in EA to make this game good anyway. And then I am sure they're looking at like the political climate and all this other stuff and saying, you know, I don't think we can do it. Like, is EA really the company we want to have out there having this discussion about like the things surrounding this game? I'm not sure that it is.
And then if it comes out anything, like, and Earl liked, you know, was it Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League? Like, you liked it enough for $5.
Yeah.
But yeah. If it comes out anything like that, like, EA should be secure. Yeah,
that's not the thing, ringing endorsement.
Right.
But it's also one of those things. I had this conversation with a friend in private for years and years and years. I mean, I think we for the most part watch movies, and I think our fans in MCU and stuff like that, you know, everybody's always said, like, the video game, not the video game, the comic book bubble will never burst. It's diehard fans are idiots. But
yes.
It's not going to burst in how people think it's going to burst. It's not going to be like you stop making comic book movies. You're going to stop doing the thing where if it's not Batman, Spider-Man, the Avengers now, that there's a higher risk involved with some of these B, C, D tier characters. And I think you're kind of seeing that now between Black Panther this week, Wonder Woman at the start of the year. And I would even say the stuff that, you know, Dame's not great, but Suicide Squad, Kills the Justice League, bombing, got the Knights bombing. I don't think Midnight Suns did super great.
No.
I could also be wrong. I think Guardians of the Galaxy didn't do super great either.
I think you're right there too.
So you're seeing that thing where I think the pandemic really kind of was just reset culture. People needed to be like, this is fun. I had my share of it. Now I want something different. And I think the different is going to be, I mean, again, it varies. Like right now, video games can't copy it because video games seem to be the thing that culture people are trying to grasp onto. You're seeing that, you know, with the Last of Us TV show. You're seeing that with Mario's opening up in Universal, Epic Universe. Sonic's doing well. Minecraft just did gangbuster numbers and stuff like that. But yeah, I do think it is. I mean, it's not this. I don't think it's the same studio. But yeah, it does not give me high hopes for the Captain America Black Panther 1940s Hydra game.
Yep, which sounds super cool.
Yeah, I think it will come out, but I don't think we're gonna expect more than like it's out. That's fun. But again, the next Spider-Man game, I'm sure will do well. I'm sure Wolverine will do really well. But like that Iron Man game, I think Iron Man is such a fascinating character. Because I am in pop culture, it's Robert Downey Jr. Like, I bet he's saying, yes. Oh, it's Robert Downey Jr. And I don't think the character itself is interesting. It's people like Robert Downey Jr. in that role. It works for him, it works for that character. But we saw that with the Avengers game. There's with an Iron Man VR game. It's not Iron Man that people care about. They care about a very particular Iron Man. And then I think to reassure people, they Iron Man's also EA, but they said they have two other Marvel games in development that are still.
They do. All I know is Iron Man, but
yeah, I don't know if they announced the other ones, but they were like, "Yeah, we have two more coming out."
But canceling Black Panther, who like I mean, is a B tier character, but has like a ton of.
A big
recognition.
Yes. I am assuming, and I would say the same thing with Wonder Woman. I just think that people are looking at the nickels and dimes and saying, like, even if we came out and this is a gangbuster game, are the nickels and dimes to get there worth it?
Yeah. I'm hoping this Marvel 1943, the Captain America game, it's produced by Amy Hennig. She co-wrote it. I'm hoping it's good. Like, I think the writing will be good at least, right? Like, it'll at least be entertaining.
Keep hope alive.
Yeah. And, you know, well, we haven't heard anything. Maybe we'll hear something next week at the Microsoft thing. But Microsoft also has, they have a Marvel game and they have Blade, I believe.
They're not next week, right? After?
They are the, well, like next week as
that's
in
Sunday. Okay. Okay. I was just
yes, please. Please don't do this to me, because if it was next week, it would be during my conference again. Can't have no. that happen.
No, no.
I think it was during your conference.
It's the 8th. They're yeah, on the
next Sunday.
Well, so it's during a different conference, but that's a conference okay. I'm attending as opposed to working. So like okay. if I disappear for an hour to watch something,
nobody,
it's not a big deal.
Okay, because I was like, I think we had that conversation before when we talked about it. That like it always pops up during like your conference time.
Yes.
Yeah, for years. That weird one.
Yeah.
Well, because it's like, so they always target my conference for like that first week after school ends, which is like when they can get like all the kids and all the like there's a lot of eyes, which means it's always at the same time. Great.
And Elden Ring, Night Rain came out to decent reviews, I guess. Jeff, have you, is it out yet or is it tomorrow?
Tonight, tomorrow, yeah.
Okay. And so you'll be bringing us your thoughts on that when you
meet. Yeah. I mean, I kind of already, you know, I did try it earlier in the year and we'll see how I feel about it, getting to play it more, but.
Yeah, you played the beta, right?
Like, yeah.
In the open weekend or whatever. Nothing else really caught my eye news wise. I assume it's quiet just because Summer Games Fest is starting in like what, a week and a half. And
Keeley's put a lid on everything, that man and his power.
For some reason, as much as I enjoy, you know, I don't think that's the reason it's been quiet this week. I feel like something else is happening next week. But yeah, there's been little bits and pieces here and there. I think Nintendo realizes that they're launching a system next week. So they've gone over, you know, like they released a new app, which is an updated version of the previous one, which kind of brings it in line to the PlayStation and Xbox app to a degree. Like you can't, I don't think you can buy games or anything like that, but you can like request friends now. You can see who's online, what they're playing. You can see your play time. You can make changes to your profile. It's a shame it took them the entirety of a generation to actually make something usable out of that, but that's a thing. They updated the Nintendo Switch Online app for N64 to include a rewind functionality and a CRT filter, but only for the Switch 2 version, which people are upset about.
They're upset that a Switch 2 feature is only available on the Switch 2.
Yeah, I think people. It's one of those things where I think people are, you know, some people are tech savvy and it's tech stupid. Like, I assume, like, you have to catch a certain amount of memory for them to, like, you know. And, like, it's easier for Super Nintendo and NES and Genesis games. Those are small games. Like, I think you can fit the entirety of those console libraries on a CD or something insane like that. But, yeah. And then they detailed new functionalities of Super Mario Party Jamboree plus Jamboree TV. I think that's the name of it. But the Mario Party Jamboree Switch 2 Enhanced Edition. We knew some of it with the camera functionality and game share. They detailed three new modes. There's a tag team mode, which is cute. It's essentially 2v2. But you still move kind of independently, but you have items that like, you can walk towards your teammate. You can, you know, if you get a star, you can buy up to 2 stars at once and stuff like that. They have one which I'm really interested in. It's called Frenzy. It's only 5 turns, which heaven knows they need that. You start off with 50 coins, 1 star, and it's just a mad dash to see who would win, which sometimes I think Mario Party is a bit tedious. That's why I think I do 10, 15 turns at most. And then they like a real gun type mode with the mouse controls where you're on like a train car and you're shooting like Koopa Troopas with the mouse. And again, it's interesting. It's a nice addition to have for this, and I'm happy I didn't buy it on the Switch. So I will, Mario Party is one of those games I will pick up when it's not cheap, but cheaper.
Yeah, will it ever get like?
You will usually sometimes find discounts. Like they might do, like, you know, like every so often they'll put a Mario 10 set.
Okay.
Then off $70 is still out of money. Oh, and one more thing. Release date for Pokemon ZA Legends is mid-October. I think October 16th.
Yeah. A month earlier than I was expecting.
I was surprised it was October because I assumed, like everybody else, that it would have been their big fall title, which I still don't think it's Metroid Prime 4.
Well, traditionally, Pokemon games come out in November anyway.
Well, yes and no. I looked this up because I was curious. I think since they started doing the every Pokemon game comes out at the same time across the globe, they've been November. But before then, Pokemon games came out whenever, mostly over the summer. So a lot of them came out in July, August, March.
What was the last one? Arceus?
That came out in January. That was the one that made me think. Like, no, that came out in January. It was that, and I think Black and White 2. Because Black and White 2, I just remember, because that came out like the week before the 3DS came out. And the 3DS launched in March. And everybody's like, why are you releasing a new game for the DS and not porting this to the 3DS? And that's how I looked it up. And yes, this is the nerd I am. I was like, yeah, up until, I want to say, 2017. So it has been almost a decade, but a lot of them have just come out whenever.
Yeah, recent history has been, Tony said, like November. Yeah, so that's October 16th. Kind of interesting. I liked Arceus. I would play this one.
I think one of those games where I know why they did it, but it seems like if you have a Switch 2, this is the game to get because, like, higher frame rate, more characters. Like, yeah, of course I'm going to get that one, not the, you know, and I think they also detailed that Pokemon Garden Ball is getting an update on the Switch 2. They haven't shown what that is yet, but yeah.
Yep, and that's that's in October, but Switch 2 a week away. We'll see. I'll be able to talk on what it looks like. I don't know if I'm going to get to play a ton of it on Thursday, but and maybe I'll bring back I'll do like a Christmas card corner for Mario Kart World. We'll see.
Well, transitioning on that.
Yeah.
To what we've been playing.
Yes.
For some odd reason. In order to get excited for Mario Kart World, I was like, you know what? I've not played in forever.
Mario Kart 8.
So I've been going through that. Partially, because again, Mario Kart is one of those games, and I said this, I think, when it was announced, and I really enjoy Mario Kart, but it's very much a social game to me. It's a game I play with friends.
Sure.
And I think... again, when it first came out, I think we used to do it more, and then as it dies down and people move on to other games. But I realized, like, there's a lot of stuff. Like, there's a Grand Prix. I think I knew this. I wasn't paying attention. But you can get, like, 3 stars if you finish first in all the races and get 10 coins in each race. So I'm like, yeah, let me start doing cleaning up some of these 3-star races. Again, don't know why, because the new one's out in a week. I was also very curious because I had not played a ton of the booster pack.
They're good.
And I want to... Some of it is good. I think some of the city stuff is... it's not bad, but you could tell that this is not, it's not the same level of care that was given to courses that were made for the Ducks or Mario Kart 8 by default.
They brought in like some of the mobile stuff.
Yeah.
And that's those aren't the best, but it's nice to have new Mario Kart. But
yeah, I mean,
there's also new Mario Kart in a week. So
yes, but it is nice to like play through some of that stuff because like people were talking about, like I forgot, like even with the boost of like there is 96 courses or something in this game. I forget how many exactly, but yeah, it's like one of those things. Like, how do you top that? And I mean, credit to them, they're not trying. But yeah, it is getting me excited to actually like realize and like, oh, I do really, really like Mario Kart and I want to go back to that. And I think what's more exciting is, again, I think by far, 8 is not my personal favorite. I think everybody has a biasness towards the Mario Kart that was popular when they were in high school and college. Because I think that's...
Your first one is like, oh, this is the one I have the best memories of.
Yeah. Like, Double Dash always has a special place in my heart. But, you know, pound for pound, it is the best Mario Kart. I don't think anybody can really argue that. And that is fantastic, but it's also been 11 years. It is exciting to see something new and different and hear different music and different characters and different vehicles. I will say, as much as I kind of enjoyed it in 7 and 8, I am happy that they're going back to the cart is the cart. And not all of this, I need this cart, this body, these wheels, this glider. I think this is the combination I use. Oh, let me try something different. Yeah, let me just try different cars. It's much easier that way for everybody involved.
I'm really looking forward. I exactly what you said. I like that they're not trying to top 8. Like, they're like, content wise, they're going in a completely different direction. Like, so that's just interesting to me, like exciting to go into next week and be like, hey, this is going to be a completely new Mario Kart experience. Like, that's fun. Earl, did you play anything else?
I've talked about this before, but I'm intrigued by different experiences. So this past weekend was one of my best friend's 40th birthdays. So I went out to his house. You know, his wife made, you know, a surprise party for him. His son is turning 7, and his son is a massive Russian fan. And he knows I'm a massive Russian fan. So I got kidnapped by like half the party to go play WWE 2K24 with him.
the year.
And it's very enlightening. Again, like, you can't ever go back to being a kid, but seeing stuff through their eyes and also seeing the way they play the game. Because he actually can play the game pretty decently, but he also does not like playing the game that way because he wants to win. So he would find any excuse to like set up matches where he didn't wrestle, but he got to do other stuff. So like, he's like, I can be your manager. I can be the special guest referee. I'm like, you're going to be the referee. And I didn't even notice it was a thing because I mostly play on my own. Special guest referee. If you are a dick after a while, they will send in an actual CPU referee to take over for you. Because this needs to get done. it's a ton of fun. I actually really enjoyed getting to play with people. And again, seeing because he is kids, they got time. So, like, he has, like, all of his champions assigned. He was showing me all of the different custom entrances that he did, different outfits. His dad was saying he's a big Jey Uso fan. Like, anytime Jey Uso debuts a new outfit on Raw or pay-per-view, he will go and recreate that in the game. Or I think some of them now, you don't have to even do that. A lot of them, you can go to websites and, like, copy code and download the characters. But I think it's great. Again, I think probably one of the best creative suites in gaming. I think the 2K9 in general has really great creative suites. It was, again, like, a part of it, like I said, I've mostly been doing a lot of the kind of analytical stuff where I'm like, oh, I want to do my GM stuff because that's something different and exciting. And actually playing the game and actually learning the intricacies of it was really nice. And again, seeing it through the eyes of a kid who also is, I can say this, sorry, sometimes, because he was cocky and like he would just like not want to finish the matches and the CPU would beat him. And I was doing everything in my power not to laugh at him, because this one time he was fighting John Cena. He was fighting Seth Rollins. And I think he was John Cena, and Seth Rollins went for the stomp. He reversed his finisher, hit him with an RKO. And he's like, ha ha, I got you now, but that's not the end of it. He goes for a finishing move. The computer reverses that and pins him. And he gets so mad. And I'm just like, if you were not so cocky, you had this. This is all your fault. but
I've actually noticed this with my kids too, is like a lot of times they focus on like looking good as opposed to just winning. Mm-hmm. Just surprises me.
It's like just take the win. Take the win.
It's right there. Just do it.
It's something you get when you're older, but it was very exciting to see and behold. And again, like I said, I really enjoyed the game. Fingers crossed, I'll speak to his parents. His birthday's next month. If he doesn't get it by then, I'll get him 25 as his birthday gift. But yeah, I mean, and I think that's the other thing. It's like, he's excited for it, but like, for me, 25 is like, 24 is so old. But I'm like, that's last year. For him, he's stoked. He's saving up his money to get it for his birthday or something. I'm like, yeah, I can help with that. So
I remember those types of events, or Tony does too, playing a lot of Madden and stuff. Like, you know, you're just like, I look forward to the next game. Like, I want to get the next game, because like, you're a big football fan, you're a big hockey fan, big wrestling fan, whatever.
Yeah, the new you want to play the
next one. K2K, it's like an event every year. You got to get in there and get that new NBA game.
It does wear off, and you're like, do I need to get this? Like, we might still do it. We might still play Madden every year or NBA every year, but like, we do. You start to be able to critically analyze and be like, all right, they didn't make enough up. Like, that's what happened with us with Madden. Like, we're just not playing it this year because they keep fucking it up. But as a kid, you don't see it that way.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think we've had discussions before. I do think some of these sports games should go to kind of like a games as services, because sometimes you are just updating just rosters, and like, you'll add one or two features. Like, I always know. And this is just dating myself. I just remember like Madden adding hit stick was such a big feature when that came out that everybody talked about it. And that's what, 20 years ago or something like that?
Yeah.
And I don't know what's been like the next big advantage. I mean, I guess HD maybe.
I mean, they tried a few things. They did like the vision cone.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. That was bad.
I kind of get the idea in principle. Yeah. It just doesn't work as a video game mechanic. Because you're like, you're trying to move and trying to move the vision at the same time. And like, if the quarterback was really good, like Peyton Manning, like his vision cone was the entire field. But if your quarterback sucked, you'd get this like tiny little space. It didn't work. And it was a huge advantage to have a good quarterback, because then you didn't even need to worry about the cone.
Right, because like, it's like, all right, I can just play it like Madden.
It's like, I have Tom Brady. I can see the entire field because I am so good.
Madden always tries to add something new in. NHL always does too. Like, they, you know, they have to sell it the next year. Like, here's our new feature. It's never a big feature. It's just
here's why you have to buy the entire game again.
Yeah. So we have real ice physics this year in NHL. Right. Oh, okay. What the fuck does that mean?
Every year, it's a new physics engine and a new physics engine. And hey, look, a new physics engine.
The most realistic physics ever. I think at some point, probably Jeff probably agrees with this too, is like, they've gone so far that it stops being, they've maybe gone a little too simmy with it, where it's, you should just be able to pick up Madden and play.
Yeah.
Not need to understand 72 different things without having, like, you can still get it that way, but you have to change all these settings to get it to just kind of be an arcade football game.
Yeah, they just, bottom line, and I'd say across the board with sports games, not just Madden.
Yeah.
They just played more fun back in the day. Like,
yeah.
They, you know,
pick up and play.
Yeah. They still maybe had all, like, you know, Tiger Woods had all the things that you would expect of and think of in a golf game, but it just played more fun. Like, I don't know how to explain it. These new games don't feel right to me. I don't know if it's physics. I don't know. They suck.
I mean, part of it might have been that it was new and exciting. And they
it's bad now. It's straight up, no, like, I'm like, if it was good now, I would still love their golf game. but it's not. It's bad.
Do they still make Tiger Woods games?
They make
PGA, right? Yeah.
Well, actually, Rory McIlroy, or was it
that was one that they made, but then they made another. They made like the PGA, or you know, Road to the Masters or whatever, like a year ago, and they all suck. I always give them a try. They're terrible, and I'm telling you, I know no one believes me or wants to agree with me on this, but Mario Golf is the best current golf game out there.
I don't disagree with you. I think it's the most fun for sure. Like, you just,
it's fundamentals are sound. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
it has all that you want too, though. Like, if you want to get the nitty gritty on like the putting and the elevation, and like it's all there.
Yeah,
you just don't have to engage with it if you don't want to.
But I'm saying, even if you like, I don't know how to explain this, but like, even so, it plays better. Like, if you're considering all that, like if you want all that shit, it's like it still plays better than EA Sports Sim Golf game. Like, it's crazy to me.
I was going to say, how does it compare to Everybody Golf?
I haven't played that. I will, though. I think it's coming out on something, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's coming out on everything. But I think it was announced on the Switch 2 Direct, or one of the...
Is Everybody Golf, is that the same people that did, like, Hot Shots?
Yeah, it's Hot... Apparently, that's just... I was confused, too, but apparently that was what Hot Shots was known as in Japan.
Everywhere else, yes.
Yeah.
Did they make the Mario Golf stuff too?
I think the original developers did Camelot.
Camelot, yeah.
But I don't know if they make Golf.
They don't. They don't do it. And now it's some company named Tide. Yeah, but Camelot started it, so that makes sense why they feel a little similar in their structure. Is Everybody's Golf Hot Shots? That's the new one that's coming out. Is that coming to everything, or?
I guess.
I thought I saw it was coming to other systems, not just, you know.
I'm going to give that a go.
The internet.
Yeah. I'm looking it up. There's no link for it on Wikipedia. It's just this year.
Switch, PlayStation 5, and PC.
Okay. So everything but Xbox.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because it reminds me of, what is it, Golf With Your Friends?
That was fun.
That was fun. I didn't know. Yeah.
Completely different type of, like, you play as the
ball. Yeah, that is very different.
That
your
was ball
is now a cube. Enjoy. Good luck.
It does not roll. that was a good, fun game.
Yeah.
Anything else?
It still exists. I think that's it for me for the most part. I think I mentioned I'm back to my Biatcho BS, and I think I downloaded Procross and some other stuff because I have a bunch of hours on the bus this weekend. So.
Oh, I've got a game for you, Earl.
What's up, Doc?
Monster Train 2.
What is Monster Train? I've heard the
name. You've never played Monster Train? So it's a roguelike. You're like, you have this railroad engine that you and your minions are taking through the various layers of hell to get to heaven. There's apparently a story. There's like actual like story bits as you play, but it's like one of those games where you get cards and you play them and there are monsters that you fight. I've been playing it obsessively for the last several days. I think I already have like more than 20 hours in the game.
Nice.
I played the first game. It came out in 2020, I think. And I really like that one too. And this is like, it's basically the same game over again with like, you always choose two clans. Get like a primary clan and then a secondary clan to go on each run, which determines like what units and what spells and what equipment you can unlock. And really it's just the same game with a bunch of different clans. But I've gotten far enough now where I unlocked all the clans from the first game. So if I wanted to, I could play the first game again as this, but
and
very, very fun.
They're new clans, I assume.
Yeah. And the new ones are all, In the original game, the premise was that all the clans were like hell based. Mm-hmm. So like now you have like angels and like other things. So you get a wider range of units. And each clan has like their special thing. Like there's one clan where all the units are mushrooms, and there's another clan where all the units are like experimented on, like science experiments. And based on that, the units do different things.
It's on Game Pass.
It's on Game Pass. You can play it for free. It's super addicting. It's one of those games where, like, if I start playing, I have to set a timer. Otherwise, I'll look up and it'll be 2 a.m. and oops, sorry. Yeah.
That's a fun problem to have, although.
Also, yeah, but it's also like it's the playing of the game feels so light, like you're just putting down cards. It doesn't really feel like anything. And then you're like, oh, 4 hours have gone by and I've done nothing.
Love it.
It's not like if you're playing like GTA. So I finished GTA and like I feel like I've accomplished something, like I made it through this giant storyline and I've done all of these things.
Yeah.
You end up playing 4 hours of Monster Train and you're just like, time has passed. It just kind of feels empty. Not that I'm not enjoying it, it's just doesn't feel like you're doing a whole lot. But you do, like, as you play with each clan, you, like, level them up and unlock new units. And you can, like, after you win a run, then it starts leveling up and you can, like, make the runs more difficult. All that stuff. So that's very, very roguelike-ish things.
And you said that you finished GTA 5. The first time finishing it?
This was actually the first time I made it all the way to the end. I would say a couple times I probably made it 60% of the way through, but I finally like hunkered down and got all the way through it.
What did you think?
The last heist is super cool, and I had no idea. I don't know how I avoided this bit for so long. That at the end you get to choose who lives and who dies.
Oh,
have any of you guys finished GTA?
Yeah, when it came out.
That's just that. I've never finished a GTA game.
Okay.
None of them?
You've never finished one? Okay.
Yeah, so like at the very end, it offers Franklin the choice of killing Michael, killing Trevor, or saving them both.
That was the one I chose. Like, all three of us lived.
It kind of seemed fitting with the way the storyline had gone. And it was like, I hate Trevor. I dislike him so much. But, like, his hatred with Michael, like, he has a point. Mm-hmm. So, am I supposed to kill one of these guys? Am I supposed to choose one? And I think the thing that kind of put me over the edge was the mission where Michael gets betrayed and Trevor saves him, even though he wants to kill him.
Yeah.
But those last missions are crazy. I really I don't know how you guys did the last heist. But I went the more secret route, and at the end where you get to drive the cars onto the trucks, I thought that was really cool.
Like straight out of like original Fast and Furious.
Absolutely, yes.
I thought the heists were the best part of
5. Yeah.
I hope they bring them back in 6. Like I know that they won't be the same. But although you hired people, like you would hire people to do roles, so I think
that's the part I wish was more fleshed out. And it sort of seems like the game, if it had DLC, it would have like because you were leveling up those guys, but most of them you only used once or twice.
Yeah.
There were only 5 heists in the game, so it would have been cool to see more of that. Like I'd take a whole game of that. I don't need all the other crap. The heists were great.
Those heists were like because they're intricate. Like it's not just all right. Hire your dudes and go do it. Like you have to do all the setup for it. You have to go get the equipment. You have to, you know, like stake out the areas to find out the like ingress points, and it's all really like intricate and cool. And yeah, I really hope they bring them back for 6. Well, I'm glad you liked it. Glad you finished it.
Yes, finally.
Earl, I think 5 is maybe the easiest one to finish, although it's still a time commitment. It's like 30 to 40 hours to play through the story, but
I did finish four as well, but like I think four is harder to finish because there's no like, I think only one of the missions has an actual mid-mission checkpoint. The rest, if you die, you have to start all of them over from the beginning.
Yeah. And which that, makes that's, it really the hard. The older ones are all like that. Yeah.
It's
like,
yeah. Oh,
you fucked up. Like, you just spent 20 minutes doing this thing. Do it again.
Yeah. And none of the missions in five feel particularly long. Like, I think probably the longest one is like maybe 15 minutes at most. And that's because you keep dying or something. So. I think the entire game is 69 missions long. I'm sure they picked that number on purpose.
I'm Ryan. It sounds like something Mr. Musk would do.
that does sound like it. It also sounds like something that like GTA edgelords would pick as like, yeah. Oh, we're going to do this as a, that's kind of funny, right, guys? Like, it is. It's also not.
I've heard it. I've heard that one before.
Yeah. Anything else, Tony?
No, that was it.
Jeffrey?
Yeah. Man. What happened?
What have you been playing?
The Sanders podcast has been for 700 and some odd episodes.
Jeff's like, wait, we talk about what we're playing? What is this? Is this a new segment?
I've not played much except I finished up Doom, which I enjoyed very much.
Finished Doom.
Yeah. The only thing I'd say I didn't love, like I loved all the new additions. I loved the shield, all that shit.
Yep.
I did not love, and they make you do this in like the second to last level, like almost the whole level is you walking around in this giant like mech suit thing.
Yeah, not
didn't a fan. Love that. No, so, you didn't like it either.
It's so slow.
Yeah, it sucks. You're just like punching enemies, and it, like you just move really slow and punch really slow. Although it is cool when you get like to a point in level run, you're like, I have a massive gun. But
it's like the size of like a skyscraper.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I wasn't a fan. That's like the only thing I wasn't a fan of. Otherwise, Doom was a blast. I don't really have much to add to it other than that. What about you?
The only thing, and I mentioned this on social media, was that so the next to last level, you're fighting this prince dude, and you fight him, you kick his ass. Like, you're destroying him. Like, I was doing wonderfully against him. I'm parrying all his shit. I'm killing his little minions that he's dropping. And it's like dodging around his shots. And then it cuts to like, there's a cutscene where he's kicking your ass. And it was like,
I hate that in games.
Fucking annoying. And they do it three times, like, cause it's a three stage fight. And then he's still not dead. Then he escapes. Like he's a little beat up, but also you're really beat up. And then you chase after him. And it's like, that's, I hate it. Like, I did all this work. I was beating you, and then you're going to give me a cutscene where I'm getting my ass kicked? Like, what?
It's just like a second phase. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's weird because the game betrays what it's doing because you have to kick their ass to get there. Why not incorporate, like, RPGs do it all the time where it's like, okay, at some point you can't do any damage, then you're going to the cutscene or something.
Right. Yeah, it's just a, you know, annoying narrative thing. But
I'm right there with you. It's one of my very, it's a very minor one, but it's a pet peeve of mine where I'm like, wait, no, that's not what's happening. Why are you making it? Because I'm not touching them now.
The only time it bothers me is when I find a boss to be extremely difficult and I finally get good at them and think I beat them, only to find out there's a phase two. It's just like, oh my God, I'm never going to beat this.
Yeah, and it, like this guy wasn't. And
no, yeah, it's fine. I didn't think anything of it.
To be fully transparent, about I don't know halfway through the game, I was starting to get a little bit annoyed because you start getting attacked by these really big guys, and I was just like, I was dying over and over again. So I just like dropped it down a level in difficulty and was having a blast. Like, it was super fun from that point on. But yeah, in this final boss fight, like, I'm not really having any trouble because it's just me versus him, and I'm doing all the dodges, I'm doing all the parries, and then Then they give me that cutscene. I'm like, fuck off. And they do it three times.
I also played on easy after I got stuck on. I think I told you, Chris, when I did it, I was like, man, this guy was annoying the piss out of me. I dropped down to easy and I like never went back because it made the game so much less stressful. Like,
and it's not like you're not, there are still battles where you're gonna, like, you're be low on health and like,
yeah,
you're still moving back and forth with it. It's just not like I'm not constantly dying over and over again.
No, yeah, like, you know, I this is not the normal difficulty. Like, there'll be points where you're just like just scraping by and it's so intense and you know, like, fuck, I made it through that. You make it to the next thing and like, I don't want to like fuck around and die. Once I dropped down to the easy, it made me explore the levels more because I just like felt more like a god and I just didn't give a fuck. And so like, yeah, I was just like checking, at least for a while, I was checking like every nook and cranny of levels. I think in the last few levels, I was just kind of racing to get to the end for whatever reason. I did not like the last level was pretty massive and I did not explore that very well at all. But oh well, and, fun yeah. game.
It's that last level's. I was not expecting it to be that long either.
I know. I thought it would just be like a boss fight. And it was like, nope. Yeah. Here's one of our biggest levels yet. I was
like, okay. It's like shit. But really good game. I put it up. I still think for me, 2016 is the best of the new Dooms. But this is like right below it. And then what was the other one?
Eternal.
Yeah, Eternal.
I would have to play 2016 again, and I might, but, like, I just really love the shield in this. It's just a lot of fun. Like, I don't know. It's a
great addition.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome addition. Anything else, Jeff?
Not really.
You finished the main quest in Oblivion last week. And yeah. I finished it this week. I finished it in both versions too, like the original and the remastered. It's a neat cutscene. It looks better in the remastered version, obviously, but sure. it is a bit goofy. Like,
that was cool.
It is like, you know, he turns into a dragon and then he fights this big fucking thing. But like the whole premise of it is pretty goofy where it's like, you know, oh, you got to get me to this temple. Okay. So you get him to the temple, and then there's like this gigantic skyscraper demon dude. It's like, all right, just get me inside. And you just got to walk past it. It's really dumb. Like, and then you just talk to him, and then he beats the final boss. Like, there's no final boss. It's just, you did it. Game over, I guess. It's a bit goofy. So I then started some of the like side quests. You stopped on Dark Brotherhood. Said you like got stuck somewhere.
Yeah, I didn't have the lockpicking skill to get into a house. There's a guy I had to get in his house to kill him. Couldn't get in.
That's a good quest. I did get into that house, and that's one where if you sneak around and you can get upstairs, you like loosen the bolts on this like chandelier or something, and it drops.
Yeah.
Like the
I always love like it, I man. Love yeah I love Dark Brotherhood, so like I gotta be honest, like I would still be playing this game right now if the leveling system didn't suck.
It does,
but as it is, I deleted it. I got 60 hours out of it.
It's like you can pick the locks even if you don't have like the lock picking skill all the way up. It's just harder. You just have to have a ton of them.
Yeah, no thanks.
And it's not a great lockpicking minigame either.
No, I could never, I could not figure it out. Give me the one from their other games.
I finally did figure it out. It's like, it's a timing thing. You have to like kind of hit them up a bunch, and then you see which time you hit it up where it stays up the longest. And that's the one where you gotta press A to hold it.
Fuck that shit. That's terrible.
But I'm having a good time with the Dark Brotherhood quest. So there was that one where you kill the dude with the chandelier. You go and you don't really kill him. Like, you have to like break into the, you don't break into his house. I guess you go into this dude's house. He's like, all right, you gotta stab me with this poison knife. When the real killer shows up, and then run away and come back the next day and give me the antidote to the poison I'll be in basically the morgue. Just like give me the antidote. So like that one's a cool quest too. Yeah, the Dark Brotherhood has some neat quests in it. In Oblivion, I think it might be like their best run of Dark Brotherhood quest. What else here? So we talked about the Retro Classics app last week. That's on Xbox, and I was saying like it's weird how like nothing just stays, like the challenges have to reload and everything. And I figured out why. That entire game is streaming. None of it is local on your machine.
Yeah.
So all the challenges, like they load in the challenge. It's not just a boot. Like it has to then restream that challenge to you to play it. So none of the stuff is running natively. And I was like, I didn't know this at first. It's like this, I'm playing it the other day on my PC. I'm like, why am I getting weird lag on an Atari 2600 game? Yeah. Like, it should not. Like, I should not be getting lag on a 2600 game. And then I started doing some research, and yeah, the entire thing is, it's a streaming app, which I guess you could go a second layer deep, and you could stream the streaming app. It's like, you could stream it through, yeah, you could stream it through Xbox Cloud, and it's just streaming, like, that app is streaming into Xbox Cloud, so you'd be double streaming.
Really, we call that Appception.
Yeah. but yeah, and we won't tell Walt though. He like was like, "Hey, I set this high score," and then he like went and I said I beat his score, and then he went and beat it. And so for like the last week, I've just let him think he's had that score.
Oh wow.
Like I immediately went and got more points than he did. But
that's a shame.
two new games, and then we'll wrap up here. Quick episode for us. Jeff's the one that told me about this game originally, Deliver at All Costs. It's a little top down delivery game. Talked about the demo about two months ago. It's now out. It was the free game on Epic last week. Spent a bit of time this week getting the Epic Game Store running on my Steam Deck. And I've been playing that game on it. It's a ton of fun. Like really dumb missions, like, oh, deliver this fucking Marlin. Like you have to grab this fish that's still alive and it gets angry. And so you have to like feed the fish by running over like fish food barrels, and you have to keep it calm while you get it to the delivery point. Or there was one where it's like, oh, you're delivering a seismograph to these researchers up the top of this mountain, and there's earthquakes going on as it's happening. So it's lighting up when there's going to be a rock slide, because like the earthquake is going to happen as you're driving. So it's like lighting up. And so you have to like kind of time your drive to avoid the rock slides. Just some neat like little missions. It's a fun little game. I think it's 20, 25 bucks. It was free on Epic last week, but that's up now. It's a good little time though. And the other one is Splitgate 2. I don't know if you guys played any of the original Splitgate. Kind of like Halo meets Portal.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember that game. Yeah. I didn't play it.
I remember talking about it. Yeah.
Well, the second one is out in open beta now. And it's basically once the beta is done, they're just going to launch it. Had a really rough launch. Came out last Friday. It was basically unplayable all weekend. They finally got it stable again. I don't like it as much as the original one. It doesn't play as much like Halo. It's more like Call of Duty now.
It's the arc for a lot of shooters.
Yeah. It's not that it's bad. It's just like,
it's not original anymore.
Yeah. It's like, oh, like, you know, playing a little bit like Halo with like a floaty jump, and you still do have like a jetpack, but think it's less useful this time around, and everything moves really quick, and time to kill is way quicker than it was in the first one. They have done some neat things, though, with it. They've introduced this thing called Split Ball, which is basically their version of Capture the Flag.
I was going to say Calvin Ball.
So a ball will appear on the map, and your team has to run out and get it, and so does the other team. And you bring it back to your ball caddy, which holds three. So you have to get three balls in to win. The other team can steal those balls. So if you put a ball in there, they can take a ball out and bring it to their base and score.
No, don't take my balls.
Yeah, don't take your balls. So like it creates this like neat back and forth where, every 30 seconds or so until there's five balls on the field. And at that point, like you're all kind of battling for the different balls. It's a good, fun, you know, back and forth, kind of capture the flag type game mode. It's like a neat evolution of capture the flag, with like there being multiple flags and you have to defend multiple ones. And we were playing tonight and we were down 2-0. The other two balls were on the field. We ended up grabbing one of them. Our team looped around to the other end, grabbed the two balls that were in the orange team's bucket, ran back with them as the winning ball was coming to them. And they just like looped around and we got all three balls, 3-1 on that one. It's like just a neat capture the flag type game move.
Nice.
The one thing I don't like is they've done this weird thing where they've split everything up into rounds. So I think it's fine for something like Split Ball where it's like, all right, best out of five or whatever. But they've done it with Team Deathmatch too. So instead of it just being like Call of Duty, I think it's like 100 or 75 to win a team deathmatch match. In this, it's like, all right, we're playing to 30 for five rounds. So first team to win 3 out of 5 wins. But you don't get that flow going because 30 is a quick team deathmatch round. And then it stops, and then you go back and you repick your loadout or whatever. So you don't get that flow of the game. So I don't think that was a good call on their part. But anyway, free to play. It's up on Xbox, PlayStation, PC, everywhere basically. And if you enjoy, if you enjoy Call of Duty and Portal, that's what I would compare this to. Call of Duty and Portal. It's a good enough time. It's not as much fun, I think, as the original one. Good stuff. And that's it. That's a quick episode for us this week. Not a lot of news, not a lot of games.
Everybody's just preparing for next week. Yeah, I don't think it changes not a lot of games bid, but that is something we can discuss next week.
So do have a question for you guys. So we're all getting a Switch with Mario Kart. Anything else you guys are getting like day one? Any other games? Is there a second game basically that you guys are like, yeah, I'm gonna get that?
I mean, I think Donkey Kong, but that's a month later.
Yeah,
If you don't get the Switch at launch, you're not gonna be able to play Donkey Kong. So
correct. So like that's like our second game is
we're gonna get
this in a month, we'll have it.
The fact that it's not out on launch day is kind of secondary because, like, that's great that it's not out on launch day, but, like, you're not going to be able to get a Switch for months. So get it now.
Jeff, any other games?
No. I could see me, like, picking up something that I really don't need, you know? Like, oh, let's play Hitman again for no reason when I already own it, you know? I could see myself dipping into that GameCube library though for sure.
Oh yeah,
it comes with it. There's a good chance I'll be playing Wind Waker or something.
Wind Waker.
Yeah.
What were the other games? The F-Zero? Is that one of them?
Yeah.
Thank you,
F-Zero. Yeah, that's a good game.
And Soul Calibur 2.
Yeah. Wait, what was... Say them all again?
Wind Waker, F-Zero, and Soul Calibur 2.
Oh, so just those three. Those are all really good, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially so, I think, you know, again, I think it's one of those things where if you're like a super diehard Nintendo fan, and I say this with love, it's a really decent launch lineup because there's a lot of big games that you may not have had experiences with. I mean, I think Cyberpunk's a good get. There's a few other things there. But yeah, like stuff like that. Soul Calibur 2, I'd mention, because I don't think there's been a Soul Calibur on a Nintendo system since 2. So like it's a fighting game that is over 20 years old, but it is something that you don't have 3, you don't have 4, you don't have 5. The only other one I could think of is Legends on the Wii, and that was a beat 'em up for some strange reason.
but are you getting anything else?
I might dip my toe into Fast Fusion.
Which one's that?
That's the not F-Zero game. I think they also did a launch title for the Switch called Fast RMX.
Yeah, those are pretty good. I think I played one or two of them, actually. Anyone have any interest in Fantasy Life, the new Fantasy Life game?
I know Sean was playing it, I think.
Yeah, it's supposedly pretty good, and that's going to be a launch title.
I don't think I know anything about Fantasy Life, though. Is it... What is it?
I don't know, like Animal Crossing style game, but there's like a billion different jobs you do.
Okay,
I might give that a chance. It seems like people are really digging that game, and yeah, it's gonna be like I can't play that on Xbox. So, also, if you guys have not played Shadow Generations, that's fun. It's very short, but it's fun. But yeah, that's like a game's like, well, you might just as well get it on Xbox, right? Like,
that's what I mean. I think it's an interesting line lineup if you've not done anything else for a while. But yes, I might be an idiot and get Welcome Tour. I'm actually more curious to see people play Welcome Tour to see what the hell it is. But
I will not be getting that. Maybe Fantasy Life. Maybe.
$10 for Welcome Tour?
Yeah.
I don't think I can.
Just why?
On principle.
I mean, they're fixed that up yet. They're Bravely Default Flying Fairy, I think, is a, you know, again, it's a 3DS game, but I think Cyberpunk, Deltarune is half of it's new. Fantasy Life is newish. I think the game came out last week. Fast Fusion, Hitman World of Assassination, the Wizard game. I am going to mispronounce. I'm not going to try that. I don't think that they count the Zelda games as on China, but I get it. Mario Kart World, Switch Welcome Tour. I might get Puyo Puyo Tetris 2S because I don't have it right now. Rune Factory, Guardians of Asmu, Civ 7, Sonic X Shadow Generations, Grit Fiction, Street Fighter 6, Suikoden 1 and 2, Survival Kids I'm kind of curious about, mostly because I want to hear impressions of it because it's a Game Boy game that's getting a sequel. Or a remaster. I have no idea what it is.
Fast-paced co-op survival game.
Yes, but is it like, I mean, because we already have it grounded in terms of like survival games aimed at younger people.
I mean, it looks interesting. I'm looking at the screenshots on the Nintendo site. But
that's the
vibe of what the game is.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, this is partially on Nintendo. Like, no previews, no anything about this system that's out in a week. Like, I don't know if any press has gotten it. I assume some of them do because people mention they have Mario Kart World review codes.
My understanding is that like not a lot of outlets are getting them. They may be getting review codes for Mario Kart, but they may not be able to play them until
they get their like... versions.
I might do the Bravely Default remaster if that gets good reviews, but.
But again, yeah, that's the thing. Because I don't know who's going to cover it, I don't know what's getting reviewed or not getting reviewed. So, yeah.
Yep.
It's an interesting launch. It's a very interesting launch. I'm very curious to see what comes of it. So,
that,
I mean, we're all getting it, so.
Yeah. That Fast Fusion game is only $15, so that sounds like a winner.
Yeah.
Those games are always like $15. They're good though, like for what they are. Like,
yeah. And again, I think it's one of those things where I think in the brink of an eye, the lineup fills up, but I feel like day one, it's kind of it's fine. But yeah, it's Donkey Kong, Mario Party in July, whatever they wanted. I still want to see more on Dragon Drive. I'm sure a lot of people are also going to test out, you know, like they've said, some of these games are getting updates to, I might throw an Odyssey again. I've been itching to play Odyssey again.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right. Well, we will have, maybe we'll have our Switch 2s.
Hopefully.
Sounds like Tony is probably not getting his till Friday. Maybe Jeff's getting his on Thursday. We're not sure. Earl, do you know when yours is arriving?
I have no idea. I have not checked. I was like, as long as they have not sent me an email saying they canceled it, I'm golden. What I am curious about, and we will see next week, is I might see if I can go to like a midnight launch somewhere, just because I feel like it is getting to the point where this might be one of my last ones that I'm going to want to do. I'm not dying anytime soon, knock on wood. But
oh, God. Let's not tempt fate here, Earl.
I'm not gonna make 50 standing on nine for a console.
All right, like let's not shame me. All right, I'm 47. I will be 47.
But you're not standing on nine at midnight, are you?
I'm gonna go up at. I mean, it's already paid for, but I'm gonna go and pick mine up at midnight.
Okay.
Here's what I'll say. I have good memories of like, and I haven't done a midnight launch in years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Like maybe. Had to have been like Halo, Xbox 360 era, definitely. Like maybe Halo 4 might have been the last one I did. So 10, 15 years ago at this point. But I have good memories of like going, everyone kind of like just talking games and having a good time in line. And
just that excitement of driving home with the game. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Now it's just all gone because I have the shit downloaded already. It's
yes. Like, yeah. Well, and I know, like coming home, right? Like, I don't know if the bundle has, like, I don't know if it's a cart for Mario Kart. I don't know
if it's digital.
It's a code, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have to download it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, set it up, get it on my Wi-Fi, and then yeah.
Yeah, it's not as excited as it was with the 20 years ago when it's like, yeah, you get a system, you'd go through the manual. I mean, for the youngins out there, I don't think anybody's that young listening to this. When you have to figure out, is this channel 3 or channel 4? How do you actually hook up this RF cable?
The cables. I remember my parents having to go out and buy new cables because it didn't. None of the ones they fit would connect the Super Nintendo to the TV.
People don't realize how easy they got it now, where it's like most things use one cable. If the Switch does not come up, you can take the one out of your Xbox or your PlayStation, your cable box, your soundbar, your speakers, whatever. But yeah, back in the days, especially with the, I used to hate the RF one because it's been bent a little bit. And you have to really make sure it was tight or you'd get really grainy or wonky picture. But then when they went from component to composite or vice versa, I think, composite to component. Mm-hmm. You used to get, what was it? It was yellow, white, and...
So yellow, white, and red were the original. And then red, green, blue.
And then now you're white, yeah.
And then there was, what, the S video cable as well at one point? Yeah,
that was short-lived.
Yeah.
But yes. Oh, you kids these days got it easy. HDMI for everything.
Just one cable that plugs into every device. And
I don't know. All my ports are full. I'm going to unplug something.
I was actually thinking about that today. I had not looked into it because, again, I adore my Xbox and I adore my PlayStation. But because they use, I think, HDMI 2.1 or something like that, they don't play nice with other things plugged into that jack. So they have their own dedicated thing. Yeah. The Switch was on an older one, so I could use a multi-plug for that and plug in other things. But I'm like, I don't know if the Switch 2 will need its own deck. So I'm like, I'm out of ports at this point.
I'm way out, yeah.
I specifically want a TV with four ports so that they could... And I'm like, yeah, they don't make the TVs for like five.
I only have three, and my sound system... My sound system uses up one, so I have two.
I bought one with four because my sound system needed one, and I knew that was just gonna be one. So I did that, and then I got the other one. So each system has its own one. But the Switch, I don't even know which. I think the Switch and I have an antenna, I think, are connected to that. So we shall see.
I think my PS5 is just going to end up unplugged. Sorry, PS5.
That's what happened. As soon as I got my surround sound, I was like, well, sorry, PS5.
until
I should get one of those Switches, like the you know, whatever, the foreign one.
Until Ghost of Yotei, then we'll have to make some tough decisions.
I can always I just swap it out because that's how rarely I play PlayStation 5. I could just be like, well, I'm not playing Mario Kart right now. I'll just swap it out.
Here's gonna be the stupid thing if I do that. Is I'm gonna go to play my PlayStation 5 in a couple of weeks or months.
And you won't know why it doesn't work.
Yeah. Why did this turn it on? What's wrong with it? I would not think to check the HDMI because it's the one thing I don't plug in and out that often. But that would totally be my mindset.
I think I'll just unplug my Switch, and that's where the Switch 2 will go.
Well, that's what's going to be happening on my TV. But yeah, sorry, it's still my PS5 is still fucked.
Yeah, I have four ports.
I don't know what I'm going to do with my Switch because it's clearly going to die. So I'm just like, what do I do with this thing? It's just going to go in a box in the basement.
I mean, not in a basement, but my systems are in a little museum. But I was thinking about that because one of the things I used to keep costs down initially is I'm just going to reuse a lot of the controllers.
Oh, yes. I'm so thankful that the Pro Controllers work on Switch 2. I would be so mad if not.
But my thing is, I think I'd have to get a charger for the Joy-Cons.
I don't give a fuck about the Joy-Cons.
I use the Joy-Cons, but...
Joy-Cons are for guests when I run out of Pro Controllers. Fuck that shit.
This is your mad era.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I bought a charger for like $20-$25, like an Amazon branded one.
Yeah,
they're cheap enough. Yeah, you just plop them in. It charges four if you have multiple. So
yeah. Again, I don't. I mean, I think we've had people open, but I'm like thinking like once I can. The only thing I will miss about the Switch for me, okay, not the only thing I will miss about the Switch is I really like the white dock I got with the OLED, and I will miss that. I mean, it's better now because the PlayStation's also white, but that era where like every console was black was just so boring. So very boring. Looking at you, Xbox. There was some green in there. Some real green.
Yeah, not just in the vents. That you have to look down into from above. They should bring back a... What was it with the 360? It was like the face plates or something. They should do wraps or something for the Xbox and the PlayStation. Well, they you can get
side packs. Yeah, the PlayStation does a thing, which I think is nifty. And if the dock was not $80 for a piece, I think it's $100 now for a piece of plastic. I would buy some fun ones, but I guess that's an easy one to actually throw stickers on or something because. Doesn't do anything. I think this one actually does because it has a fan now.
Well, we will find out what it all does next week when we all have our Switch 2s. Maybe some of us will be able to talk about it next week and give first impressions of Mario Kart. But we'll do that then. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.